Where is your faith? You know, in essence, a question of great power, especially during storms. And these weeks we have looked at storms, why storms strike, looked at what the Bible has to say about how to deal with storms, how to come to grips with the fact that we are going to experience storms. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said. He didn't shirk from giving us a dose of reality. We are going to experience storms. The question is, how do we deal with them? And today, what we're going to look at is really growing through the storms. And you think of the storms, and a lot of those were listed, you know, car accidents and illness and calamity and in the world, earthquakes and tsunamis and hurricanes. And I mean, we could just go down the list of listing all of the major storms that happened to people. Of course, the first week we faced facts that most of the storms that we experience are at our own hands. They're caused by us. Other storms that are caused by the sinfulness that is present in the world, in other people. And then there is the fact that Satan would love to destroy us and to attack us, and Satan is in the world and is well. Storms are a part of our existence. And Jesus is not asleep in the boat. He's not oblivious to our storms. I'll tell you, some of the biggest storms, I think, were experienced in the last century during World War II, don't you think, in concentration camps. And I want to share a little dialogue with you today that happened between two friends who came into contact with one another in Dachau, one of the cruelest of concentration camps during World War II. These two friends stumbled into one another in an overcrowded, foul-smelling barracks in this dreaded concentration camp in Dachau. And one of the friends was named Ludwig, and the other friend was named Christian. And Ludwig begins. He says, the word was slipped to me when they sent you here years ago. I heard you were weak and ill, and I wondered how you were faring. And they sat down on the edge of the bed, and they began to catch up with one another. And what catch up with one another really meant is how they managed to survive. Now, seeing the grayness in Ludwig's skin and the faded color of his eyes, Christian was compelled to ask, do you think you'll be able to stand up to being here much longer? And he says, well, there are lice in this bed rack that make it almost impossible to sleep. And, of course, the bitter cold makes it almost impossible to bear. I'm not sure how much strength I have left in me. And immediately Christian warned. He said, your health is extremely important for your survival, because I need to caution you about what happens to people when they're put in the infirmary. They don't come out. I understand, Ludwig says, it's the same in all of the prisons. I no longer worry about living and dying. Somewhere along the way, I release that worry. I try to live each day as honestly as I possibly can. And I seem to lose track of everything else. And Christian says, my goodness, you have found true courage, my brother. And Ludwig smiled and said, oh, no, sir, I don't have any. Nothing is left in me these days but the necessity of trusting God. Give me this day my daily bread is my only prayer that I have left. His is the only glory that remains. And Christian, he warned reluctantly, I'm sure the days ahead, there are going to be days ahead where you're going to hold more hardship. Christian says, ah, but God is still good. I couldn't sleep last night, so I spent time merely reviewing some of the scripture verses that I had memorized and some of the hymns that I have stored in my memory. It was a wonderful time of filling a sleepless night. And Christian was kind of amazed at Ludwig's attitude and said, Ludwig, you are just such a man of God. Christian just felt this surge of emotion as he looked at the physically ravaged human being who radiated supernatural kindness. He says, it's an honor just to know a person like you. No, Ludwig said. I'm only a worn-out vessel whose time is nearly spent. Only God is good. Only He is able to make us sufficient for times like these. They can bend you, but they can never break you, will they? He said, Christian, how many times have we thought of those words of Paul? In weakness, His strength is made perfect. And I tell you, I've discovered in secret through all of this, nobody deserves the tragedies that we've experienced through this, but I know that God isn't defeated and we shouldn't be either. Every blow the Germans strike has the potential to further perfect our faith in our lives. God will even use their cruelty for our good. We must receive whatever is before us with that trust. And all of a sudden, Christian was overwhelmed. And he said, you are a walking lesson to us all. I come to comfort you, and you have comforted me. And Ludwig said, what they have done to us, they will have to answer for. But how we receive it is our responsibility. Christian said, my brother, let me give one final prayer for you. And so in the crowded barracks, the two of them got on their knees, and they were hardly even noticed. And Christian prayed, our gracious Heavenly Father, we would not have prayed for this cup, yet as it touches our lips, may you turn the bitterness to blessing and the gall to glory. Now be with Ludwig in whatever way can best bring his spirit to its fullness. Give us courage. Amen. And Ludwig died 2 days later. This dialogue that came from a book called The Pastor's Barracks by Robert Wise, the line that's striking in that piece, in that interaction, is contained in the prayer when Christian prayed, Lord, you turned the bitterness into blessing. Lord, turn the gall into glory. Do you know that over and over and over and over and over again in the pages of the Bible, there is this reality? That even though we people, cause the overwhelming majority of our own storms in our own lives, and even though the ravages of sin are unleashed in the world and they wreak havoc, and even though there are storms that are launched on us by satanic attack, our God that we come to worship and adore and to learn from this morning. Our God is able to take any storm, any trial, any heartbreak, any tragedy, and cause something profitable to come out of it. Do you hear me? Over and over and over again, the testimony in the Bible is that any storm, any trial, any heartbreak, any tragedy, that God can cause something profitable to come out of that, something good for you, something good for others, something good for the glory of God. And I wonder if we really believe that this morning. It sounds good, but do we really believe that no matter what takes place in our life, what storm we experience, that we have a God that is big enough, powerful enough, grace-filled enough to be able to turn something out of that storm for our good, for others' goods? I want to talk to you this morning. We're not going to focus on storms. What we're going to focus on is the strength that storms produce. And here's the truth. It's not what matters to you that matters. It's what happens through you that matters. Write that down. It's not a matter of what happens to us that really matters. It's a matter of what happens through us. That's what's really important. I want to show you what the Bible says can happen through you as a result of storms. And please understand that I do not want to come off as glib and announce that there is a silver lining to every cloud. I'm also not here to suggest that the reason a particular storm comes on you is because God is wanting to grow and mature you in your faith. God is not the cause of our storms. I'm only suggesting that if we learn to handle the storms of life effectively, if we learn how to respond to them properly, then we'll discover that each storm, each trial, each tragedy, each heartache has the capacity to strengthen our character, to deepen our compassion for others, to raise our confidence level in the grace and the power of Jesus. And I'm not aware of any other catalyst that produces a result like that. I'm not aware of any other catalyst that produces that kind of fruit other than storms. Our God has the power to turn bitterness into blessing and to turn gall into glory. And I'll bet we're all interested in that kind of result, aren't we? Or is it just me? I sure am. We've said it often. It needs to be said often. It's not what happens to us that matters. It's what happens through us that matters. It's not what happens to us. It's what happens through us. Here's what can happen in us as a result of storms. What can happen through you? That's what we want to focus on this morning. First, storms can strengthen your character. Storms can strengthen your character. Storms can strengthen my character. Does that sound trite or strange to your ears? I'll tell you a strange verse in the Bible. I think the strangest is James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Look at it. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. In fact, I've got this crossed out in my Bible. It just doesn't make any... Hey, when you experience trouble, let it be an opportunity for joy. That just sounds weird. And then he goes on to say why. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. This passage, as well as many others in the Bible, affirms this simple truth, is that storms can strengthen your character. Now, no one talks much about character these days. It isn't a popular subject. We read and write about getting rich or thinking big or succeeding and climbing ladders or looking beautiful, dieting and exercising. But when a storm strikes unexpectedly, when the phone call comes, it changes the entire course of your life. When the pink slip is handed out and your career caves in. When you read the accident report of your loved one. When those dreaded divorce papers are served. When the death certificate is signed. It's in those moments that either make us or break us. And what makes us or breaks us is called character. Character. That collection of virtues that makes up each one of us, who we really are, the strength of our resolve, our perseverance capacity, our level-headedness when everything else around us is spinning, our security level, our maturity, our values, our ability to survive, our faith in Jesus. These are the substance of who we really are, and these are the elements that get stretched and stressed and tested during the times of storms and get strengthened. If we handle storms properly, then our character is what gets developed. You all know the proverb. You don't like hearing it, but it's true nonetheless. Storms evil either leave you bitter or they leave you better. Storms can either leave us bitter or they can leave us better. And you know folks that fit into both categories. I know you do. I know you know people who have gone through tragedy and it has scarred them for life, and they are bitter for life. And only years later do they allow themselves the healing touch of Jesus to be able to get rid of that bitterness. Storms either make us bitter or better. And so you unexpectedly face a storm. The question is, what will you do? Will you fold on the inside? Will you blame others? Will you drink? Will you take it out on your spouse? Will you slam the door and kick the dog? When a storm strikes, it isn't Miller time, folks. It's character time. Are you going to dig deep down and use those flabby muscles of resolve, of perseverance and faith? If we do, those virtues will be strengthened and toned and perfected. This is especially true if you're a believer and you understand that one of the greatest goals of a Christian is to be conformed to the image of God. Did you know that that's what God has in mind for us? is that we would be conformed to his image, that the more that we grow and the more that we live, that we might be a clearer reflection of Jesus. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. I love this verse. That's the transformation needs to happen with us, is to change the way that we think. And then we will know what God wants us to do, and we will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. We all too often want this Christianity thing that God would make us happy, make us successful, more able to have triumphant relationships, and more, 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 more. It's a consumer attitude that we bring into the Christian realm. We want more, 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 more. But may I remind you that Scripture says, from page one to the end of the book, is that what the Christian life is all about is our responding to Christ and to others and to storms of life in such a way that our character is conformed to the image of Jesus, that we are reflections of him, and so we become stronger. We become more like him. And so someone goes through a painful divorce, and let me ask you, is there any other kind than a painful one? Such a storm will leave you bitter or better, weaker or stronger. How bitter it is to merely blame the louse or the lousette, whichever it is. How tempting it is to hold black tie party pity parties for yourself. You could degrade the person or berate the person, and you live for years with venom in your veins, or you can say, wait a minute, it's over, it's done, the storm is over. What character lessons can be gleaned from that storm? What can God burn out of me? My haste, my intolerance, my honesty. What is it that God wants to form in me through this? And you enroll yourself in the graduate school of character. You come out on the other side of the storm with greater virtue, greater wisdom, greater insight into yourself and others. You may have some scars, no question about it, but God has a way of turning those scars into new resolves. Or if I was Robert Schuller, that he has a possibility of turning those scars into stars. That's what he wants to do in our lives. He wants to perfect our character, to grow us stronger, and so that we become people of true character. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? That we all dread storms. How many of you love storms? No. You'd have to be kind of sadistic to love. Oh, I love it when I suffer. I love it when I've got problems. I love it when people are angry with me. I love it when I've got a broken relationship. I love it. We all dread those storms. None of us want to volunteer to go through one. We all yearn for a calm sea. But every person in this place knows that character and courage aren't tested and strengthened until skies darken and the winds howl and the waves crash over the side. Then and only then do you find out what you're made of when the storms strike. The question is, will we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, who seeks to turn bitterness into blessing and gall into glory, or will we become bitter, vindictive, cantankerous, with venom in our veins? Do we shake a fist at God, or do we open our hands in reception of what he can do in our lives? That's the question. What are we doing with our hands? Are they clenched? Are they open? Lord, do something in me. Storms can enroll us in the graduate school of character. That can't be achieved. The results cannot be achieved in any other way. So storms have value. Storms have value. Which is why James makes the stupid statement. Let it be an opportunity for joy. Not because of the storm, but because of what God's going to do through it. So not only do we have the possibility of developing character, our character being strengthened through storms, the Bible also says this. It says, storms can deepen your compassion. Storms can deepen your compassion level for others. There is a level of compassion that can only be attained through the scars of storms. Do you believe that? Look at what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says this: all praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. And he comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. Do you see some value in storms? The value is not only for you to strengthen your character. The value is also for you to be able to comfort someone else. Notice it says, so that we can become comforters of others. Have you heard the phrase, a person will never be greatly used until he has been badly crushed? Another stupid statement. But true. You show me a person who is tender, who is humble, who is sensitive and compassionate towards people and is merciful to others in need, and I'll bet money that that person has been battered and beaten by storms at some time in their lives. Have you ever noticed that when people go through a storm, and if they don't become bitter, they become softer and they become compassionate and they develop a heart for others who are going through similar things that they have experienced. Have you ever noticed that? Who do you think ministers to a parent who has lost a child best? Someone who's already experienced that. Who do you think ministers to others who go through a painful divorce best? Those that have already been scarred. Who do you think ministers to people in need best? Those that were once going through the storm of being in need. What God does is he takes the experiences that we experience and he uses them as an opportunity for us to be able to not only receive grace, but to live it. Not only to receive his grace, but to live it and to comfort others. It's interesting that storms have a way of equalizing humanity, placing people on the same level, putting them in the same canoe, no matter how rich we are, poor, smart, uneducated, educated, blue-collar, white-collar, whatever race we are, storms strike and the ground is level. Storms have a way of making invincible people vulnerable, independent people dependent, perhaps for the first time, insensitive people sensitive, arrogant people humble, judgmental people graceful, self-centered people concerned for others, hard people soft. Storms do that kind of thing better than anything that I know. So when we experience pain, midnight-level, gut-wrenching, heart-ripping, agonizing pain, we cannot confront the pain of another without sensing something deep within us that prompts us to respond. We can't help it. God builds a heart of compassion through our own storms. I wonder if the story of the Good Samaritan doesn't communicate that very truth. I mean, think of the story of the Good Samaritan. You know the story. A man is beaten down, robbed, left for dead. Two religious types pass by, and they don't help at all. They just pass by. It takes a despised Samaritan to respond to the pain. I wonder if it's because the Samaritan, who himself was no stranger to the pain of rejection, to the pain of ridicule, to the pain of prejudice from the Jews themselves. I wonder if this man knew the beatings and batterings of storms and therefore responded to this man because he himself had gone through the same kind of thing and he just couldn't help himself. His heart was broken because he knew what that kind of pain was. The people I know who are compassionate and merciful and ready at a moment's notice to reach out to others are those who themselves have gone through storms. They are people who are experts in pain. And God has done a work through them. He's comforted them with a comfort that defies understanding, and they have almost been unable not to comfort others. I mean, who do you think is the best at comforting friends other than those who have experienced storms? Who do you think the best person to minister to a shut-in is? Do you think it might be one who has experienced the pain of loneliness? The best one to reach out to a homeless person is one who has weathered the storm of being in need. The best counselor is the one who herself has gone through the agony and confusion and disarray of life. And I've discovered the best kind of pastor is one who's been almost blown over by the strong winds of doubt or discouragement and pain and failure. It deepens and expands our hearts. It gives us a compassionate heart. So storms strengthen character. They deepen compassion levels. And finally, the Bible says this, that storms can increase your confidence. Increase your confidence in the power of Jesus Christ. Increases your confidence. 1 Peter 5:10 says this, in his kindness, God called you to his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. After you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. What Peter is saying is that storms have the tendency to demonstrate God's faithfulness over and over again. After you have survived a number of storms, you will find yourself saying with feeling, God is able. God is able. It used to be just theology. When you first come into a relationship with God, and you say, God is able, it's almost a statement of faith, because you haven't experienced it yet. But once you experience it, no longer are they just words. God is able. God is faithful. God can be trusted. I am confident in God. Those at the beginning are just words. They're statements of faith. But after you live with him for a while, after you experience storms, and you see that God indeed did work through the storm, he called and calmed the wind and the waves. He did work character in me. He did expand my heart. Then guess what? To say that God is able, God is faithful, God can be trusted are more than words. They're convictions. Because guess what? Every time that I experienced a storm and God was there ready to be the foundation, ready to calm the wind and the waves, ready and able to calm my heart, it's almost like he puts a deposit in the trust bank. And so the next time that I experience a storm, I enter into the storm knowing that I've got a deposit in the trust bank. God did it before, and I don't think God's going to stop it now. God was faithful before, he was able before, he was capable before, and guess what? He still is. And so it increases my confidence level. Every Christian starts out their journey believing and hoping that God will be faithful during the storms of life, but it's raw hope. The more that you live with him, the more storms you experience, the more confidence is built. Once the storm is over, the Christian collects his composure, her composure, and says, guess what? Boys, I look back, God was faithful. God did calm the wind and the waves, did calm my heart. God will not fail me. He never has. He won't now. He never will. So I choose to trust him in this storm. Write that down. So I choose to trust him, even when the wind and the waves are scary. I choose to trust him. Because he's not going to stop being faithful now. Isn't our God something? He can take the storms that strike our lives, and he uses those to develop our character, to deepen our compassion level, to give us confidence in his ability to bring us through any storm. So here's the question. Are you in a right relationship with him where all of this is possible? Because we can block it. We can keep it out. We can try and endure the storm on our own. We can try and calm the wind and the waves on our own. We can scream until our voices are raw. We can hold our fists and be angry. We can open our hands and say, come, Lord Jesus. Jesus, calm the storm. Calm my heart. So the question is, have you surrendered yourself to him and availed yourself of what he wants to give you? Do it now. Why? Because when you do, you can claim the promise of Romans 8, 28. I've got it on your sermon notes at the bottom, so you can take it home with you. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All thing works for good, a promise to those who love him. Do you get that? All things work for good to those who love him. Does it say all things work together for good for everyone in the world? And that's a phrase you hear. Well, it all works out for good. Well, no, it doesn't. If you're separated from God, you're on your own. And that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing when we're on our own. But if we love him, then he's in charge. And the promise is that all things, folks, all things. Hold tenaciously to that when you go through storms. A promise to those who love him. Let's pray together, can we? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are our rock, our salvation, our tower of strength, our deliverer. I thank you, Lord, that your power is greater than any storm that we will ever experience in life, no matter how severe it might seem to us. And I pray, Lord, that we might have the faith to be able to see that even through the ugliness of a storm, that you are there to work character in us that cannot be developed in any other way. That you are working to deepen us in our compassion level toward others. And that you want to use our storms for the benefit of others. And that you desire, Lord, to build great confidence in us through the storms of your working in our lives, of your power, of your strength, of your goodness. So, Lord, I just pray that our hands would be open to receiving the full measure of what you have for us. And that we walk through life confidently, knowing that we don't walk alone. And knowing that you are there with us. So come, Lord Jesus. Come into our hearts this day. Walk with us. Strengthen us. Encourage us. Help us to be more like you, Lord. May our reflection be greater so that we look like you. In all that we do, all that we say, all that we think, work that miracle in us, Lord Jesus. Amen.